Life Audio.
Hey, welcome to the Art of Pastoring podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. Boys, this is live episode number 2 here at beautiful Sojourn New Albany. I want to do a minute on Sojourn aesthetics because this is kind of your department, baby. And I feel like we've got decades worth of church aesthetics represented here at Sojourn New Albany. And then we've got some like kind of older lady flower arrangements.
It's kind of as Rob Bell would have said, it's a mosaic.
It's a pastiche. Yeah, it's a mosaic. It's a dance.
It is.
You know, just enjoy it. Yeah.
And by the way, when I said it's a mosaic, that would have been like 3 pages of the book spelling that out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, one letter.
Maybe can I start with the fact that they're trying to carry over that Easter vibe a couple of extra days?
Dude, I like the Easter vibe.
They don't want it to end. I know it's only Monday.
I
know Easter was like 10 minutes ago, but they're really trying to carry that over, you know?
And Ted is off mic. This is suspenseful.
You want me to play something? Let me do a little...
No, I don't want you to play.
Do a little synthesizer for you, Big T?
I know you used to be in music, but I want you to talk me through what this is and how this gets used in worship. Because it looks like a child's... like Christmas present circa 1993. You get the little Yamaha, the little Casio keyboard. You're like plinking out
mixed with like a recorder. Isn't that like a mouthpiece on the
end? Yeah, it is, man.
Dude, no way. Talk me through this. I want to know everything about it.
I don't even know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to be cool.
But of the three of us, you can
figure it out. I know what it is. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean when I say that? Like, I know what it is.
Here's the thing.
I can't explain it to you.
Let's get down to brass tacks. We have a Q&A app coming up. Okay. So we're going to have an opportunity for you people to stream down front, grab a microphone, ask a question. But I want to kind of turn the tables on this thing a little bit. If we have any like music people in the audience who know what this thing is, and we're looking at a very cheaply made keyboard with a mouthpiece of some kind on the end, and
I'm sure it's been sanitized.
I don't know what I'm looking at here.
I mean, when you put your mouth on that thing, T, I think what Pipe wants you to know is that it's been sanitized.
Dude, what are the odds of me putting my mouth on that thing by the end of the night?
I mean, I think the odds are real good. I think the odds are extremely good.
I think...
Let's get a show of hands that wants to see Big T's big mouth.
Let's get a little clap up if you want to see Big T's big mouth on that thing. That sounds bad. That sounds so bad. We're going to have to cut that out, Pipe. We can cut that out. We'll cut it out for my employer.
It's absolutely staying in because you're tenured now. So.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, baby, just tell everybody how you're tenured now.
Walking a little taller.
Walking a lot taller.
It's almost as though...
What do you do with all the money? That's all I
that's the
now.
Thing.
What do you do?
Where do we spend it?
I mean, where's the second house now?
It's almost as though nothing about my life has changed at all. You know,
with tenure.
But I'm.
What did you wake up and do the next morning after tenure?
I bought a lake house.
Did you?
Yeah,
that's what I thought. Yeah,
right. And you don't even have to ask me that because we've known each other for so long.
I'm just curious because next year I'm going to have a book that comes out called Violent Grace, and I'm going to experience
huge.
The same thing you're experiencing right now.
We can
now.
Go halvesies on a jet.
Yeah, but I'm going to have a book come out called The Happy Rant. So. In August of this year, y'all go pre-order.
Yeah, written huge. By Barnabas Piper.
Yep, just me.
Piper, hope that works out for you, Pipe. I heard it's great.
I heard
it's a fantastic piece.
It's a solo gig.
Noel loved it.
Yeah, Noel loved the book. Noel's going to love the book.
Yeah.
Dude, let's clap it up for Noel for just buying the book. A little impulse buy.
A little
right
pre-order.
Here, right here on the program. That was a live purchase.
It was a live purchase.
Yeah, it was a live purchase. He made radio history.
What I think we should do is everybody that raised their hand wants you to get your mouth on that Yamaha, whatever it is.
Yeah, that sounds
Why
so
don't
bad.
We say that the price of admish is a pre-order?
Yeah.
On Amazon.com.
Wait, so if they pre-order...
Maybe they haven't heard of Amazon.com. Why don't you...
It's a little mom and pop. It's a little try-hard online bookseller. They do a nice job.
Little mom and pop bookstore.
They may be the devil, actually. Like, maybe Satan taking over the world. I don't know, you know?
I mean, why are we so anti-guys like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk?
Yeah,
why
do we have to they're be so that sweet.
Way? I'm not. actually, I'm not. I don't know. Are we? Are you?
I think we're supposed to be.
We're supposed to be. I just resent them due to how rich they are.
That's what I'm saying.
But like, personally, I have nothing against them.
Like,
it's
every once in a while,
resentment.
Like every once in a while, Big M will be like, "Oh, but Jeff Bezos is the worst," and I'm like, "Yeah, you know, like I don't really know why." Right?
You're just agreeing.
But also,
I know it's crazy. I'm clicking like Prime. Yeah. You know, next day, right? Yeah.
Two-day shipping is the reason that I like Jeff Bezos. Like, I don't. Everything else doesn't matter.
Barnabas, you corporate
sellout. We've covered this already. Yeah.
Yeah. Shark stuff. Piper, speaking of shark stuff and business and commerce, tell them how they can pre-order the book. This was a thing that we were going to hit. So.
It is indeed. So our
your book, apparently.
Yeah, my
you can pre-order your book.
You can pre-order my book that I didn't co-author with these two gentlemen, The Happy Rant.
It's unbelievable.
Coming out in August.
What we deal with.
And I will get all the royalties for it.
You actually are kind of the dad of the podcast in that, like, you disperse all the money. You could be really,
it's like... I give you guys your allowance.
Oh, he's been skimming off the top
for
years.
Dude, he could be, like, cleaning our clocks financially.
He's been skimming for years.
Do you think, dude?
Guys, I didn't want to say anything, but I think this is a great op to do it.
Dude, the rise and fall of the Happy Rant is going to be about embezzling, you know?
It's going to be how we turned into a two-man operation as he's buying his lake house for funds that we can't,
the lavish.
I mean, I did just buy a house. Just not a lake
house. Okay.
Where
do you think that down payment came from?
Exactly.
Didn't come from the, wait for it, residuals.
Residuals. It's a little different, dude. Piper, tell them about how they can pre-order.
My book, yes. Yeah. You can pre-order The Happy Rant anywhere that you buy books. You go to Amazon, you go to Barnes & Noble, you go to Lifeway, you go to ChristianBook.com. The important thing to remember is once you have pre-ordered, there is a perk in it for you. If you then... get your confirmation email. You go to thehappyrant.com/book. There is a great page that our dear friend Josh Byers has put together. There's a form you fill out there. You drop in your confirmation number, your contact info, and you will get a custom Happy Rant poster mailed to you from our good friends at Harvest House for being kind enough to pre-order. So, Noel, active pre-orderer of my book, you now go to thehappyrant.com/book. Drop in your information, and a poster will be mailed to you, and you can see it, what it looks like on our little pop-up banner out here or at that site. It's Josh did an awesome job with it. It's basically a bunch of our Happy Rant catchphrases, running bits over the years, things that we've said that we're very proud of, a few that we're not very proud of at all, and you get to put that wherever you put posters or give it to somebody who would enjoy it very much.
Dude, I love the slash book. Like, way to hype it, man. Book.
Everything lands better if you can put a slash in it.
I know, but just slash book.
Yep. It's true.
Book.
Like, do we know what book it is?
Does it feel a little...
I feel objectified.
It could have said slash my book, but, you know, we just shortened it.
Obviously it's slash Barnabas's book.
Yeah, if you go slash Piper's book, it'll get you to the same place.
Or it'll get you to some other Piper books.
Absolutely.
Buy those, too. You don't get a poster for them, but, you know, residuals.
Dude, speaking of posters, I want to talk about this beauty. Let's clap it up for the boy, Josh Byers. Just a wizard. Design wizard. I said to him a couple of weeks ago when we were collaborating on this thing, I said, Josh, I just want you to match the colors to my Bang energy drink called Rainbow Unicorn, which smells like fresh tennis shoes, which is why I love it and I keep going back to it. And I'll be darned, he did it. He matched the colors on the can with the colors in the poster. Spectacular work by Josh Byers. But boys, I want to get a little serious for a minute. I want to do some listener submitted life advice questions. So from time to time,
we are the men for the job.
We really are. From time to time, our listeners will write in looking for advice on various things. We've got writing, we've got marriage, and we've got advice for D-Men students.
Oh, sweet!
I've got so much.
Sweet,
to say
I'm the
about
guy
that.
For now.
Do we know any D-Men students, Piper?
I wish I didn't.
Yeah. So. I want to start with writing advice, and
Judas.
Yeah, baby, you don't owe Judas me, baby. Who of the three of us was leading a writing cohort this afternoon? That's so glamorous.
That was Zoom. Me.
Baby, that's so me. Glamorous. A writing cohort
maybe
via
it was
Zoom.
It was glam.
That sounds like a dream.
Big. It was big.
So,
I mean, literally, there are writers now. There are more writers in the world now.
There are so many writers. I've never felt less special about being a writer.
Well, you shouldn't have to the cohort because I just created like a whole new batch of them.
That must be hard for you.
It was rough, yeah.
Is it hard to like...
I like to be a little more exclusive.
I know you
do. That was an inclusive cohort.
Yeah. We don't like that.
Yeah.
What did you tell them? What kind of writing advice did you give these aspiring writers on your cohort? How many people were in the Zoom?
Dude, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. It was
I bet the energy was spectacular.
It was a vast army.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you
on a Zoom call? You got to work through the layers.
Yeah. Of excitement.
You got to work through the pages of people.
Are you a Zoom background guy, or you just go?
I did it here, man. I did it at Sojourn.
Did you zoom in from the green room?
I zoomed in from like one of the extra special associate pastor offices.
Wow, dude,
it was big.
Yeah,
it was
that big. Is huge.
Yeah.
Describe that office. What's in it? Like a Sojourn 35-year-old associate pastor. What's the office look like?
Dude, I don't know. I was sitting in front of a.
What are the book flexes?
I was sitting in front of a bookshelf.
Yeah.
But I felt like it had. You
what
know,
does this kind of guy flex on?
It had this big round. You know those things like if you like knit or whatever, and there's round things, and you like you hold it
like a loom.
A loom. I felt like there was this big loom behind me of like
interesting,
knitting,
dude.
Of knitting things.
Okay.
Man, that was the worst way to describe what was behind me.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
What were they working on?
I bet
on?
He holds the title Pastor of Fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So I was just in front of that. Nobody asked me where I was.
Okay.
They just assumed that was my office.
Oh,
I'm just, this is all coming to me right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They're like,
so they're
making
like
assumptions
wow, Ronnie,
about
that, like, he's really arty.
He's really sensitive.
He plays the, wait we, for it, melodica.
That's what this is?
And does a little looming on the side.
Who said that it was a melodica?
The pastor of this church just told me it's a melodica, and he's super mad that we're making fun of it right now.
Why?
I don't know.
Where is he? Is he in the room?
He tends to be a little sensitive.
It's probably like his kid that plays it in church
probably.
Or something.
Or him.
Wait, I'll smooth it over with
him.
He plays it in between like sermons.
Way to pick on someone else's kids, Ted.
Yeah. Man, I'm a terrible guy.
He plays a sweet little tune in between points two
maybe,
and three
maybe
in
I'm
the sermon every Sunday.
I'm the angry Calvinist. Maybe I haven't been able to see it because it's me.
I know. You're coming off real angry.
I'm
Calvin.
Coming off so angry.
What
so
an angry Arminian sound like? That's what I want to know.
Big sweetheart, apparently, because they're not a Calvinist. You know, aren't all non-Calvinists big sweethearts?
They are big.
Isn't that what I can infer from
Well,
all
when
the
we went to the Wild
today?
Goose Festival that year, we found out that they
Wild
were.
Wild Goose, dude. Is that still happening?
I have no idea.
Yeah. So writing advice. Tell me what you said to these people. I want to do a couple minutes on this because, like, listeners earnestly reached out. They want to get advice from us on this thing.
So my piece was on writing from the heart.
Okay.
So I had to talk about what that looks like.
And what does it look like?
Well, I don't know, man. I don't have my notes.
Are you better at talking about writing from the heart than actually writing from the heart?
Apparently not.
I'm not really...
Because you really suck at talking about it. I'm not going
to
lie.
I just don't think it's going to be compelling radio to talk about what writing from the heart is all about.
No, okay. It's a compelling cohort, though.
It's about not being so brainy, right? It's
that you're good at.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
It's about not being so brainy. It's about being a little more compelling. It's about being a little more emotional. It's about having a greater sense of self-expression.
So you spend 90 minutes talking about being an Enneagram 4.
100%.
Oh.
Boy, I wish I could have been on that cohort.
Yeah,
I mean, you can, Pipe.
Oh, I am, but I write about being brainy.
No, are you feeding him
about being brainy?
Are you feeding him some big publishing dreams?
I mean,
like how to do a book proposal, stuff like
that? No, that would be the brainy side of it, like how to do a book proposal.
Got it. You're into the touchy-feely.
I'm just saying, like, you guys, just throw up on the paper and see what...
Oh, my gosh, dude.
See what grows.
I would hate that cohort. I would resent every minute of it.
I don't think you would.
Piper, let's give some writing advice. What do you got?
Because we want to hear from the brain guy, right?
Yeah. Everybody's here for the brain guy.
That's always a better book, right? That's always a better commentary.
Can you give me like a scenario? Because writing advice is, I mean, some people need to hear don't.
Yeah.
I mean, there's good writing advice for some people.
Okay,
some people need to hear don't quit. And those are very opposite things.
Let's actually do a minute on that. You can't tell anybody don't. Anymore, right?
Yeah, but they still need to hear it.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes I think they do need to hear it.
You can't tell anybody that, even though you're tenured, because your job depends on telling them they can write.
Dude, I actually have two students in the house tonight who really can write. They're two of my young journalism students at Union University. Union, just one little flex here, best magazine of the South, again. We beat a little school called the University of Alabama, Roll Tide. We beat UT, Ole Miss. Let's clap it up for UU Journalism. The talent pipeline is full. The Lord has been kind. But what would you say, so if like one of my students, Pipe, reached out to you and was like, I've been doing these journalism classes with Cluck. I really enjoy them. I'd like to do a book. What advice would you give someone like that?
I would ask them if they have any idea that they can't shake, so that just some core idea that like it hooks them.
Yeah,
and then start compiling thoughts.
Yeah,
like not an outline, just piles of notes.
Mm-hmm.
And if the pile is big enough, you might have a book. I mean, there just has to be a certain amount of quantity there.
Yeah.
That would be my mind. Just like, what is the idea that you cannot shake? Because if you try to be like, I want to write a book, so I'm going to come up with an idea. Mm-hmm. You can probably do it, but it'll be like most modern leadership books that should have been like a TED Talk and just stayed there.
Sure.
You know, like you've got your one chapter and that's it.
Yeah.
So that would be my initial advice. And then I would be interested to see the idea and tell them whether or not they should write that book.
Yeah.
But that's a separate question.
No, that's good, man. I think my advice would be think of it in terms of scenes. So just start stacking scenes. So like we do creative nonfiction in my program, and I want to get them engaging the five senses when they think about writing a scene, right? So what did it look like? What did it sound like?
Baby, that sounds so similar to what I was saying.
Was it really? It's actually really fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun way to do it, and I get them going kind of ekphrastically.
Sound really similar to vomit on the page. Just so strikingly
really
similar.
Yeah.
No, dude, all that meant was sometimes creative people have a hard time like getting it going.
Yeah.
And it was just like, just start throwing stuff out there.
Dude, so sometimes I'll prompt them by... I'll have them pick like an era of their life, right? So maybe it's high school, or maybe it's a breakup, or maybe it's going to college or whatever. And I'll have them write their way through the era in three songs. So I have them pick three songs that sort of define the era for them. They could have been songs that were on the radio or just songs that have overlap thematically, and they'll kind of write their way through the era in song. And I think sometimes that gets them going. Sometimes we'll do a scenic thing where they think about a room and they just bullet point everything in that room that engages the five senses. And then I'll have them write a scene.
Let me ask you a question
about it. Yeah, go.
So, I mean, I know there's like a method, right?
Yeah.
There always has to be a method to things. But like, isn't it just like everything else? Like a writer is just going to write regardless of like if he has the tips and tricks, right? It's like somebody that like has that in them.
Yeah.
It's just going to come out.
Right? I would make the argument though that I started having it in me more the more I read great writing. You know what I mean? So part of our program, one of the building blocks is like, be able to talk about what you like, right? Identify what you like. Identify what you like reading. Be able to talk about why you like it. I think that's a building block. And then the more you do that and the more you get reps with like great things, the more it does come out of you. You know what I'm saying? So like you don't see a blank page anymore. You kind of see an opportunity to write a scene or an opportunity to like structure a story thematically or whatever. So there does become more of a method to it. And now, like, let me ask you guys this. We've all done several books, and we're all older, right? Like, when we were...
Easy.
Yeah, easy. I know. Yeah.
Baby, that hurt.
It's tough to talk about, baby. But I need you to talk about it with me, because I'm going to harken back to something that we experienced. Like, when we were 33, and we were doing Bridezilla.
Can't even remember that long ago.
And the buzz was just so big and so loud, and everywhere we went, like Toledo, that trip, we were dreaming the big dreams and making moves, and we were doing things that were like becoming of a 33-year-old. You know what I mean? But now they seem a little just like stupid, for lack of a better term. So do you have a tougher time getting going now is what I'm saying. I guess what I'm asking.
Yeah, like how do you capture the inspiration?
Yeah, how do you capture the inspiration?
I don't know. I mean, it's a great question. I think if you love an idea you have, I think it's easier to capture it. It's almost like when you have to work on something that you're not that stoked about.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do.
Yeah.
You know, like in all of our lines of work, right?
Yeah.
That it's just become sloggier as you get older to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
I think inspiration might be the most overrated part of writing.
Yeah, talk about that, Pipe. That's good.
All right, Pipe, be on point. Disagree with everything I just said.
Well, no, I think I'm agreeing with you.
I love the conflict, boys. Let's lean into it.
I think I'm agreeing with you. You said it gets sloggier as you get older. Like, that means that you're writing without feeling inspired often, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not sitting down going, oh, man, this is great. I love this. I'm just going to pour out words. You're kind of grinding.
It's the nature of writing vocationally, right?
Yeah, I think inspiration is what people who are afraid to ever publish wait for.
Mm.
And
well, I agree with that. Yeah,
I mean, you're just waiting around. Like
you got to write into your inspiration.
It's just like anything. I mean, it's just like anything else that is worth doing. That is a discipline. You do it whether or not you feel like it, and some days are better than others. The difference is like with writing, you can throw away all the bad stuff. Like if you have a bad day writing, you're like, well, I just wrote 2 or 4 or 8,000 words, and none of them will ever be published. Delete. But I wrote. And then the next day, you're going to get something better because you kind of worked through all that crap. Mm-hmm. And I think inspiration is, it's not a thing that you can hold on to. I find it utterly frustrating to worry about inspiration instead of worrying about, is this worth doing? I believe in this?
Well, yeah, no, what I was saying was, though, it's like those moments when you're writing and you're not even thinking about it, and it's just, it's kind of pouring off, and, you know, it's pouring onto the page. It's good. You come back to it a day later, it still holds up. Or the stuff you can look back on and you can look at it and you go, I like what I said there, because it came out of some form of like, mm-hmm. I was just feeling good in that moment. I was feeling inspired, whatever word you want to use. Mm-hmm. You always know those sections of writing that kind of come up. Because I can look back at the stuff where I go, oh, man, that's just kind of clinical. I had to slog through that. I could never come up with anything better. But mm-hmm. I look at it and I wish it had a little more pop to
it.
But it doesn't.
Isn't that all writing? Like, your favorite author, my favorite author, whoever that person might be, has whole pages of their books that you don't remember and sentences that you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have these portions that they wrote with absolute fire, whatever, sure. inspiration, yeah. whatever. And then there's whole portions that just connect the parts that are absolute fire. That's just writing. If you're like, if you must have absolute fire to keep writing, you will write, you're just going to write the occasional tweet. Like, that's the amount of content you can put out.
Tough to hear that occasional tweet deal, baby. I would never podcast here.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Real quick, let's just go rapid fire. Favorite writer to read.
Oh,
favorite writer to read to get inspired to write. Let's do that.
John Steinbeck.
David Foster Wallace. Come on, baby. Baby, you got to work with me.
I don't know, okay? Man. I don't really have authors. I'm not into authors.
Ted Orland.
I'm into songwriters.
Ted Orland?
Yeah.
Ted Orland.
Okay, there we go. All right, let's move on to marriage advice.
The Apostle Paul.
Yeah. The Apostle Paul. Dude, that's the way you need to go with it.
That's not controversial.
Right? That's the way you need to go with it. You look a little more spiritual.
Moses.
You look like the demon guy that you're about to be.
Asaph, the psalmist. He's really my guy, actually.
Dude, I want to know.
Let's say ASAP. I said ASAP. Did you get catch what I'm doing there?
Let's skip to D-men advice. I want to get back to marriage, but I want to do D-men stuff. And I want to
keep it brief.
Yeah.
Unlike a D-men,
I want to know like how you, because I know you're a standout guy. You're a guy that likes to stand out, and I know you're not like you're not fighting the fight intellectually. You're going a little anti on that. So like, how do you kind of flex in that D-men class like. You're in a room full of guys in khakis and sport coats. They all want to flex a little bit. How does Ron Martin, D-Men student, flex in a classroom?
I mean, dude, I'm the guy. I don't know.
So if I'm your professor, tenured, bit of a deal. If I'm up there trying to teach you, what does that look like?
This is what it looks like.
Go.
Everybody's. I just did this, man. I was just in Kansas City doing a thing.
Yeah.
Everybody's around the table and they are psyched, baby.
They're psyched.
They're psyched to be there.
What does that look like?
I mean, it looks like, hey, tell us about like your dissertation. Mm. And literally, he can't even get that sentence out of his lips. And they're like, they're just going.
It's a long sentence. A
lot of inspiration. That's what I'm trying to describe here. And then he gets to me, and I'm like, dude, I don't know.
This is exactly what I pictured. When like, you said, how do you stand out? I pictured Ronnie going, I don't know.
I just have questions. So I'm the confused dude in the denim jacket
in the corner,
I just don't really know what we're trying to do here.
You're like the emergent church circa 2006. I have more questions than answers.
I do. I have more questions than answers.
I got my little pompadour. Right. I've got my little denim jacket.
I have more questions than answers.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Tim Keller said that too.
I'm a big sweetheart.
Tim Keller said that too. You know, And, I'm in the dark. Al Pacino.
You do a better Pacino than me. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean.
Hula. Yeah.
So
no,
everybody else is so self-assured. Okay, this is what it is. I'm going to be honest with you right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody around the table is so confident. And I know they're not.
Right, okay.
But they're throwing off
that
those vibes.
That was my next question.
Yeah, they're throwing off those vibes. I don't want to be the confident guy. I want because I don't, because I don't like that. I want to be the guy that's sitting there and speaks exactly to how they're actually feeling, which is like, I have no idea why I'm getting this degree, and I wish I was anywhere than here right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm paying for the privilege.
Yeah. Well, okay, so
yay.
It's,
degrees.
It's, man, you know what I hear? I hear inspiration.
I mean, it's such a buyer's market in the sense that, like, if you can write a check and fog a mirror, they'll accept you into the program. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not like they're vetting anybody.
This is the line I get. Yeah. Okay, this is the line I get. You want to hear it?
Like, no, we don't want your tuition money.
Oh, no, 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 no. They'll take your money.
Oh, they sure will.
They take your money. Yeah, here's the line I get. So
fogging a mirror is optional.
Listen, you're going to love this, baby. You're going to love this. So this is the line I hear over and over again.
Yeah.
So I'm standing out in the hallway. I'm just getting ready to go. I mean, ask Jared C. I'm getting ready to do, like, dude, this is so hard. You know, like, this is brutal.
Yeah.
Like, man, we're paying for this brutality. You know, I'm trying to get someone to come to my side. Mm-hmm. This is the line I get.
Mm-hmm.
I get quiet.
Okay.
And I get a guy that goes like this and goes, I mean, you know what's weird is I'm kind of a nerd. And I really, like, actually love this, man.
Uh-huh.
That's what I get, like, over and over and over again, right? Is the nerd dude that's like, man, I'm thinking about getting another degree after this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking about sitting through the class twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's going to be no one in here, but I just want to be in the environment, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing I get. Like, so literally there was like 15 dudes in this class, and every one of them at one point said, yeah, I hear you, man. It's kind of rough, but you know, I'm kind of a nerd. I dig this a lot. So it's like that vibe.
So you haven't found like your guy to like buddy up to at school.
Well, I mean, dude,
Ronnie has no friends at school.
How does the outlier
find
the outlier?
That makes me sad.
How does the outlier find the outlier, right?
Are you eating lunch by yourself at Midwestern?
Only every day.
Like you shuffle through that cafeteria line with the little tray with the square sections.
Oh, dude, I'm not even allowed to be in the cafeteria. I got to bring the bag lunch, man. I mean, it's
all just waiting for somebody to spitballs.
Somebody's going to dump like the Spurgeon roast on his head and yell O'Doyle rules or something.
That's bad, man.
I love it. I think
it's bad times.
Piper, I think we need to go to school with Ronald.
Oh, that sounds like hell.
That would just go smashingly well.
We need to shadow Ronald at school.
I can tell you this.
Yeah.
If I was there, Ronnie would have somebody to commiserate with about why the heck am I doing this? Because that's the reason I don't go to school is because I asked that question.
That's the problem.
And I don't see any
reason.
Like
when they ask, why are you doing this? Because it's like nobody's forcing me to do this. Like I don't have an answer.
Why are you doing it?
I don't know.
I want to push you on that right now.
I don't know. Yeah. Jared Wilson made me do it, man.
Yeah. Dude,
Jared C. Wilson roped me into this. And you know what he tried to do 2 weeks ago, boys? He tried to rope me into doing this weird transition thing into a PhD.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big.
It's big.
To the tune of how many tens of thousands or more?
Tens of millions of dollars. It's obviously not a big deal.
Does he get commission off of your tuition?
He must.
Dude, Jared, bit of a salesman. Yeah.
He must, man.
Bit of a salesman.
He got me in this thing.
Yeah.
He roped me in, man.
Dude, so now, like, semi-serious question. I know that, like, being friends with
Jared. I'm working through stuff right now.
I know you are, dude, and I want you to keep digging. I kind of feel like your therapist right now.
I don't. Can we move on?
You can swipe your insurance card on the way out. But like, how much of this D-Min deal was just a ploy to kind of get close to Jared and stay close to him? Because I know that friendship is really important to you.
You know, that friendship is deep.
I know it is, dude.
You know, when you do a podcast with somebody, it's like a marriage.
Did a podcast.
It's a marriage.
When you do an unsuccessful podcast with someone, it is like a marriage.
It's a marriage. It's kind of like writing a book.
For better or for worse,
like writing an unsuccessful book with someone.
I wouldn't know what that feels like.
I know. That's what I'm trying. I'm trying to explain it to you right now, right?
Yeah, in terms
of it's like a marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you do things for your friends.
So
when Jared C. says, hey, you're going to get a D-Min, Ronnie Martin, I say, hey,
I want to ask about that. And Piper, I want you to paint a picture for me of what you think it looks like, because you know how school friendships go where like you kind of join a team just to be close to somebody who you want to be friends with.
Okay.
And this is clearly what Ronald has done here. Like the more he talks, the more like crystal clear it becomes to me that he's only getting this D-Min to be accepted by Jared.
But then why don't we ask the question why Jared C. wanted me to get the D-Min?
Well, I'm getting there. Okay. So like, do you think Ronald was disappointed by how Jared's demeanor toward him changed when he finally got in the program? You know, and Ronald's expecting something, and he's not getting it.
I suspect that that Jared C. is a master of doling out friendship in just the right doses so that Ronnie just, like...
Keep those checks coming.
He's following the breadcrumb trail.
Keep that tuition check rolling in. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he just, like, he upped the ante to transition to PhD, like, clearly Ronnie has been roped in. There's been enough given out here that...
Guys, I need help.
Yeah, you do need help. Jared's going to have you, like, getting tattoos and doing all kinds of things you don't want to do. Rolling cigarettes up in your shirt sleeve, you know.
If Jared
wearing Ramones
off the cliff,
T-shirts.
Would you?
Yeah.
It was weird because, like, the second check I had to send to Midwestern, they said, just make it out to Jared Wilson, you know.
Dude, where are you at on Jared's Ramones T-shirt face? I feel like this is a bit of a thing he's going through.
Dude, Jared sees a huge Ramones fan. I know it doesn't seem like
That's fascinating.
I know it is fascinating. Right?
I mean, not really.
No.
I'm not really interested in
not
other
remotely
people,
interested
but,
at all.
I mean, it's fascinating for a second, you know.
You wouldn't think Jared C. would be into the Ramones, but
just
he's a huge
clear,
fan.
Going,
I respect
huh,
him a lot.
About something isn't the same as being fascinated. Like,
yeah,
huh,
yeah,
all
exactly.
right, moving on.
Dude, like when I use the term interesting, it really means I'm actually 0% interested in that.
Yeah, that's always a clue on the podcast that you could not care less. When Ted goes, oh, interesting. Okay, transition.
Dude, and then you guys, hear... Jared C. as a Ramones fan is super interesting.
Why is that interesting, dude?
Because it's just super fascinating. Because he doesn't look like a Ramones guy.
I feel like...
What does a Ramones guy look like?
I mean, not like Jared, you know?
I feel like him wanting to be thought of as interesting is the interesting thing about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just...
It works for Ronnie. He keeps trying to be interesting.
Nap.
There are plenty of people who like the Ramones.
Guys, don't think for a minute I'm not going to threaten to quit this thing again.
Yeah. Dude, I want you to choose between us and Jared. That's what this is leading to.
We're due for
I'm giving you an ultimatum. This is a relationship ultimatum. We are doing the marriage advice.
I was about to say, this sounds a lot like bad marriage advice.
Guys, I'm just waiting to get that first book deal with Jared C.
Oh, I know you've been
angling
for that.
There's a guy here that can make that dream come true.
I know. Dude, seriously, how long is it going to take for you and Jared to get a couple minutes with Kyle?
Jared and I are trying. We're trying to keep it cool. We're trying to go slow.
You want Kyle to approach you.
Right.
Because you're a veteran. You've been in this for a while.
We don't want to come off too desperado.
Exactly. You know? Have you thought about what you'll call your book with Jared?
Violent Grace.
Have you talked about...
But that doesn't have gospel in the title, so he can't write it.
Violent gospel grace. Have you talked about, or have you thought about in your heart of hearts, how doing a book with Jared, like it's a high ceiling, low floor deal, because it could wreck the friendship.
It could, man. You know? And I love how you said heart of hearts, man. That's like every Francine River dream that I've like ever had in my life.
I think of you as the male
the
follow
up to redeeming love, heart of hearts, you know?
Maybe that could be.
Are you saying like if we did a book together, it would crush us?
No, I'm saying it could.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like, baby, did it crush us? Can we get?
I mean,
can we get? Can we bring it down a couple of notches?
Low these many years later, we're still doing a very.
Can you lay down on my couch here and talk?
I like how you guys are like role playing marriage advice right now.
We are, dude.
This is really fun for everybody.
Who's the woman?
You. Yes.
Wait, I'm the woman.
With that.
I just said yes. I'm just sorted out.
We both are.
Marriage advice, book advice, it's practically the same
ordeal. Practically the same at the end of the day. Let's actually do some marriage advice, though, because, again, like a listener submitted this question. He's newly married. We have been married for a while, varying periods of time up here on the panel. Pipe, what do you got? What kind of advice would you give a newlywed?
Just that. It's like not a question. It's just blanket. It's just general.
Just give me advice.
Baby, I feel like I'm trying to do this thing. You're critiquing it.
I'm not critiquing you. I'm like, dude, where do we go with that?
I mean, you know,
I don't know. Pick a category. I'll go conflict resolution.
Go.
Always apologize first.
I like that.
I'll just go with that one.
Dude, that's actually solid. And from time to time.
I like how you use the word actually.
Yeah, yes. That's surprisingly good advice from you, Piper.
You really surprised me.
It's really good.
Stunned.
It's really good. And like whenever I, counsel's too strong a word, but when I get to talk to people at my college about relationships, and they ask me, like, what I should look for.
No, take the word counsel, because you can build that into your whole kind of influencer ethos. Like, you counsel
I too, can be a gross influencer trying to get book deals at the drop of a hat.
Perfect.
No, I don't want to write a book about this. But, like, I think asking the person, you know, does the guy that you're interested in, does he apologize quickly? Like, is he quick to apologize, take responsibility? I think that's a really good one. Ron, relationship advice from you.
Do you want us to assign you a category, something more specific? How about communication? You're doing so well.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing so well at it tonight.
Thankfully, I'm not married to you boys, so I can do a little bit better.
No kidding.
With my lady.
Yeah, I hope
my
so.
My lady friend.
I certainly hope so.
With my lady friend of 27 years.
There we go.
Communication, yeah.
Strong start.
Yeah, why is it such a difficulty for us? Like, why do men seem to struggle? So we have a little bit of a reversal in our relationship, right? Big M is kind of the quiet one. I'm the verbal processor. Shocker, I know. Mm. But I think what we do is we just use every available communication tool at our disposal. So when we're not together, we're texting. We just kind of know what's going on in each other's mm-hmm. lives. Like, it's like a steady stream of communication, regardless of where we're at and what we're doing. So I think it's like the constancy of communication.
Yeah.
You know, don't have those moments where you're wondering, you know, like open up those channels. And sometimes it leads to, you know, some conflict, and that's good though, because it's better than those things, you know, being, you know, emerged and then, you know, coming out later in a really dysfunctional and unhealthy way, you know?
No, that's good. Piper, ask me a specific area of marriage question.
I like
how you're doing this. You're doing a good job.
See what I'm saying? See what I said there? See what I did there? Less general. It's great.
Yeah, no, okay. I know. Hey, that's a good note. Yeah.
You've been a parent for 18, 19 years?
19 years.
Okay.
Crazy.
So not letting parenting subtract from marriage. So you still enjoy your marriage as a parent. How do you do that?
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I think that's good, actually. And I think, like, it's something we've made a pride. Sorry, that sounded like damning with faint praise.
It's okay.
Again.
I keep surprising you.
No. They're still full of surprises all these many years later.
8 years of podcasting, and I can still surprise
eight
you.
8 years of wonderful. Podcasting marriage. You still delight me, Piper. That should be our book, Podcasting Marriage.
The Meaning of Marriage.
The Meaning of
with
Podcasting
Ted Ortlund and Barnabas Piper.
Yeah, we'll skip chapter
9.
Dude,
Ted Ortlund is going to be my nom de plume. I'm going public with that.
Real
right
marriage.
Now.
Ted Ortlund, Barnabas Piper.
Dude, that's solid. Like a little watercolor in the background.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, huge.
So many watercolors.
Dude, a pheasant.
The whole
like my band, Pheasant. Shout out, Pheasant.
I want the whole thing to be like written in watercolor.
Yeah, exactly.
But just a couple words per page.
No, like I think you ask a really good question.
I thought I did too.
And something that, like, I don't know, kind of worried me as a kid, I was an only child, was feeling like my parents' sense of happiness and well-being in life was tied to me. And, like, as I went, they kind of went. And we never wanted to put that kind of pressure on our kids. And I don't think they put it on me so much, but I think for them being able to see us enjoying each other, to be able to see us having Friday and Saturday nights that are great or trips that are great without them or with them, you know, so them being able to see we have a vibrant life that exists kind of outside of them and that this is still strong and we still love talking together. We still love laughing together. We still love traveling together. We still love talking about movies and dumb stuff and serious stuff. Just for them to see us enjoying each other, I think hopefully has been really good and hopefully, like, as they transition into relationships of their own now, Lord willing, we're praying that will happen. And as they do that, hopefully they take some of that into it, you know. What do you guys think are some of the biggest mistakes that, like, especially kind of young people in our tribe make early in marriage?
Trying to be the head of the household.
Yeah, talk about that, because that's, like, a real thing that we want to be. So we don't want to downplay that idea, but talk about, like, how overly trying to be that can be
I think
not helpful.
You mentioned our tribe particularly, so yeah. I take the Reform world, which is mm-hmm. often aggressively complementarian, which isn't complementarian at all. Mm-hmm. That's just hierarchical. And there's an aggressive attempt to be the head of the household, which basically just means you're a jerk. Mm. And you're an immature jerk who doesn't know better. And I'm speaking autobiographically here. This is not just by observation.
Yeah.
Not realizing that to be the head of the household is to serve the most.
Mm-hmm.
To lay your life down first.
That's right.
To be the first to sacrifice, the first to apologize, the mm-hmm. first to say I don't know, the first to acknowledge somebody else's gifts, the first to all of the humble things.
Yeah.
That's being a head of a household. Mm-hmm. Not being the boss.
Yeah.
You know, that I so I yeah, if there's a mistake in our camp that I see, it's that. And I young men do that Sadly, a lot of old guys do that who've been married for 20 years too, and it you know there's sort of a sense of like, oh, this is biblical, which is so backwards.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Baby, anything come to mind for you? Mistakes that young, probably reformed dudes make early in their marriages?
Yeah, I mean, even outside the camp, you know, I think what I see now, again, just in a church where there's a lot of, you know, young adults, young families, I see this weird sort of tendency to like, start living separate lives. And they each get so over busy with, like, things that exist in their life apart from the other person to the degree that they're like passing strangers in the night.
For sure.
And it's something that they'll talk about for years and years as it continues to just compound and develop. And then you get to that place where they're in crisis and they literally don't know each other.
Yeah.
You know, because it's more convenient in some ways to live that way, to where you're like, you're building a household, but you're not really building a life together.
Right.
And I don't know why that I know why, but there's a bunch of reasons why that would be. It happened, you know, 50 years ago too, right, for different reasons.
Sure.
But there definitely seems like there's more of an opportunity to let that develop.
Yeah.
You know, especially with how many things that we like to kind of overpopulate our lives with.
Yeah.
You know, before you know it, it's like, I mean, this is a brother and sister thing.
Yeah, that's right.
We're roommates.
Who are both really busy. Yeah, and that's tragic.
It's almost an overcorrection to the sort of aggressive complementarity, which is sort of like... It's sort of a like, oh, you do you, but I'm not invested in you. Yeah, we are not invested in anything together. It has the guise of supporting someone else, and in reality, you're just disconnected.
Right, you're just kind of letting them do their own thing while not really being a part of it.
Yeah.
And
it's completely, it costs me nothing at all
for
you to just go do whatever you want.
It really goes back to what you said at the end of the day, right? So that's that idea of like serving one another is also being invested in the other person's joys and the things that they love and getting your sense of enjoyment, you know, because of what they love and what they enjoy.
Yeah.
And that takes work. I mean, it does, but it also keeps you at that place, like you described, Pipe, where, I mean, this is a sacrificial marriage. I care more about your needs than I care about my own needs. Your joy is my joy, and so I'm going after that kind of a mentality, kind of a heart, you know.
No, that's good. I think mine would be one mistake I see is sort of assuming or placing a low value on attraction. You know, a lot of people in our tribe will sort of take the perspective of our theological white papers overlap by 80 or 90%, so we're good to go, even if we're not super attracted to each other. I'm pro-attraction. I just think there's a lot to be said for, like, liking your lady and loving your lady.
Maybe
and
pro-attraction should be the name of the next book.
Pro-attraction, dude.
That's big.
That's huge.
If Violent Grace doesn't work out, man, I want to roll with pro-attraction.
Violent Grace, pro-attraction. I hope someone's writing these down.
Yeah.
This is this
I got
is
them
cool.
logged up here.
Kyle's about to go pitch them to other authors.
Kyle, actually, consider this a pitch meeting. This is a live radio
pitch
meeting.
Pro-attraction.
He's going to beeline over to Jared and be like, do you want to write pro-attraction?
No, I mean, I think there's really something to be said for, like, liking each other. And one
imagine
of the,
that.
Well, yeah.
Maybe I mean, imagine that, actually liking the other person.
One of the first things that I remember about KK is just how crazy we were about, like, spending time together and talking and being together and just looking at each other. And, you know, that's a pretty decent place to start.
And then tragically that ended.
No, it's still going. 26 years for me, baby. 26 years for me and my lady.
That's big.
Let's clap it up for the girls. Let's clap it up for the ladies.
Who put up with us.
They do put up with us.
Got to wrap this up.
Yeah, this celebrity radio lifestyle is not for everybody, spouse-wise.
Well, you know,
tough.
We don't want to be hypocritical here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Piper, before we wrap, I want to tell you, I don't want to tell you. I want you to tell me.
Okay.
About a company with whom we are in a long-term relationship. You could call it a promotional marriage. And I think both parties are attracted to each other. Both parties are satisfied. both parties are, like, gazing longingly into each other's business eyes. That company is Visual Theology. Tell us about them, Pipe.
Oh, Josh is so uncomfortable right now.
I'm gazing at Josh's eyes as I say the thing about gazing into eyes.
You can't. He's got them covered in shame right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Yes, listeners.
Josh, lean into it. I'm just celebrating
your
strength.
Our sponsor spouse is Visual Theology. No, for those in the room, if you go out there and you see all those amazing designs on the posters, the show poster like this one here, the other posters out there, the T-shirts, all of that comes from the creative genius of visual theology, and Josh Byers, who also does our website and all of our swag. If you go to visualtheology.church, you can see all the resources they have. So they have books, they have curriculum, they have a membership program, they have all sorts of digital stuff. It's great for Bible teachers, pastors, parents who want to, you know, raise their kids up. You could use them in family devotions if you're into that sort of thing. Personal study, whatever it is. And if you use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout at visualtheology.church, you will get a 20% discount. So go check them out. Use them in your church, your home, etc.
Let's clap it up for Josh. Let's clap it up for the boy. Amazing. They do great work. My sons both have visual theology, like, gear on their walls, and it's really great practical stuff to bring the Bible to life. I absolutely love it. Do we talk about Tom Nelson right now? Is that a thing that we're doing?
Thomas Nelson. He's pretentious that way.
I call him Tom. I consider him like a florid man in a business suit with like thick fingers. He's when I think of Tom Nelson, you know, buying and selling people.
Boy, nothing makes you want to buy a Bible like
that's
florid
right. That's
faces
who you
want to
buy
thick
a
fingers.
Bible
call him T. Will.
T. Nels.
Yes. Thomas Nelson Bibles are other sponsor for this. Specifically, they want to introduce you to the New English Translation, the Full Notes edition of that Bible. So it is a new Bible translation, which there's a new one that comes out every several years. Almost all of them are based off of previous English translation. This one they started from scratch, which means they've probably been working on it for decades.
Why do you look at me every time you say translation?
Because I just...
I feel like you're glaring at me every time
you're the doctor.
Say the word
you're the anti-intellectual
I'm
doctor.
Just, notice it's an English translation, boys.
Yes, it's new and English. It's for you, Ronnie. The Full Notes edition has over 60,000 translation notes. So especially for people studying Hebrew, studying Greek, looking to do exegesis, it's great because it shows how they arrived at the translation did.
Keep your eyes right here, Pipe. It's
you're
cool.
A preacher.
Right here, man.
Yes.
Guys, it's like I'm not even in the room.
You're not going to use this in your journalism classes. Pipe, he might use it in his sermons.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, gosh, let me come get these children. If you go to netbible.com/podcast, they have a special offer for you. You can also learn more. Also, we have three editions up here in different covers for people who ask us questions in the next episode. Yeah. So ask us really good questions.
First
and
three
we will
the microphone.
We'll give you a Nerd Bible.
Yeah, this Nerd Bible is going to make you forget about the ESV. It's going to make the ESV obsolete.
How dare you?
That's a hot take by me. Do I stand by it?
Dare you?
I don't know. You know,
dare still, you try
who,
to take down
who pays more?
Still working that out. Boys, we have done what we always do on this program in that we've wandered to and fro throughout some topics that Ronald didn't seem very enthusiastic about at first, but then kind of warmed up to.
Do we want to hear a few tunes from the melodica?
That describes every episode of this podcast. Ronnie seems disinterested and then warms up a little.
I think that melodica is going to – I'm going to learn it, you know. I'm going to gaze at it for a little while and learn its contours, you know.
You got to date it. You got to date it for
I got to date
while.
It. I got to kick the tires on it a little bit. I got to take it to coffee, talk with it for a little while, you know. Text a little bit, and we'll see
talk
how we're
with
doing
it right. Like it's an object.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm objectifying it.
It's unbelievable.
I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, you are the bad guy.
Boys, we've done what we always do on this program,
in that
I've been the bad guy. And I want to hear you, audience. We've done what we always do, and until next time.
We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast. Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Want to learn more about God and His will for your life one verse at a time? I'm Quenice Petway, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. I'm inviting you to tune in and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.